A Shishkin Productions podcast.
It says we love films and we love sandwiches, and making films is a lot like making sandwiches. Hey, what's up, Sizzlers? Welcome back to another episode of the Sizzle Reel Podcast.
Hey.
The Matt King Arena, not the lounge, though.
It's not a lounge.
Again,
no one's Memorial on. Arena.
Yeah, the Memorial. I forgot about that. Happy Passover to all you guys out there.
Happy Passover.
It's probably already passed us over at this point.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know when it ends.
But I don't really.
Whatever. It's Monday, another shining Monday. Sizzle Reel. More like drizzle reel, because it is raining out there.
Yeah, it's been, just been shitty lately.
It's the rain is a-pouring, and we are in here.
April showers bring May flowers, so that's, we have something to look forward to.
Pilgrims. And what do they bring, those smallpox blankets?
Yeah, well.
No one likes a pilgrim.
Get your vaccinations.
They might have cool hats, but it's about it.
I just like, why do we care about pilgrims? They're fucking weird. Like, are they Protestant? I don't know. Who dresses like that?
It's just so
crazy.
Did
they even dress like that?
I just think it's crazy that the whole thing was like, we want to worship whatever we want to worship. And then they get here and they're like, you got to worship this.
Yeah.
It's like, what happened to the reason you left? Like,
well, I mean, they left for religious persecution and then they
came and
persecuted.
That's a very Christian type thing.
It really is.
You know what I mean? What do they say? Like something about a neighbor and what you do to yourself or whatever. Don't do something to
unto others as they would have done unto you.
I don't know. I haven't read it. I don't know. I never read the Bible. Where can people find us?
Oh, we are at Sizzle Reel Gang on Twitter and Instagram. We are sizzlereelgang@gmail.com. Send us an email. And of course, we have the Sizzle Reel Goldmine. That is
332-333-4361. Call in.
Nancy, text in.
Please. We beg you.
Yeah, Nancy.
Call in.
Where you
tell
been,
us
Nance?
Your thoughts on pilgrims. I want to know. What do you think?
This is...
It's early.
What a start to this sizzle reel.
Tell us your thoughts on pilgrims, man.
We
need to know. It's great because I feel like this way we're like kind of priming it. By the time someone actually calls, it'll be Thanksgiving, so it'll be very relevant.
Will the cold line even exist by then?
Oh, yeah, dude. The cold line...
It's about to start coming out of our own pockets.
No. The cold line, we're going to form a new LLC for the cold line.
Okay.
Just for the cold line.
Sizzle Reel Gang LLC.
Just cold line LLC. Sizzle Reel Cold Line LLC or else LLC.
Or else.
Yeah, Chris, what do you want to?
Oh, you know, just the same old, same old. It's been MLS stuff and the final bit of Tree Fort 2023, Tree Fort 11. It's pretty much in the, it's a wrap.
It's a wrap, baby.
We did the full recap. We used, for the first time, I think, we used new songs. Typically, we just reuse the songs from the daily recaps. But this year, I wanted to go above and beyond.
Yeah, I remember you were like, the daily recap songs are slow.
They were, and like, they were good songs. I just, and let's be real, some of the songs that I chose aren't exactly the easiest to edit to either.
Yeah.
But I just wanted to show a little more diversity and not just the main stage acts.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I will say I specifically picked only main stage acts.
Well, because that's what they want for the daily recaps. And look, maybe they'll come back and be like, guys, can we use bigger artists for the songs? But I don't think they will. Who knows?
Yeah, they're usually pretty chill. I think they're gonna look at it and go, "We love it."
Yeah,
because that's the kind of client they are. But yeah, that's I'm glad you did it. I'm glad I didn't have to. Well, thank you for doing that.
Yeah, no problem. I will admit, I wanted nothing to do with it just because that post Tree Fort hangover. It gets longer every year, I think.
Yeah,
this year hit me pretty hard, just like getting back into...
just like a normal sleep schedule, because part of it's also just the timing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, literally, like, the clock, your body clock, I know it's only 2 hours, but it's just like, it's 2 hours, but you're also staying up late every night, so it's almost like you're staying up till like 6 or 7 a.m.
Exactly.
East Coast time every night.
100%. So, yeah, just waking up before 10 a.m. for the past week or so has been really difficult. And, I've been getting plenty of sleep. I'm still going to bed at, 2 a.m., but I just can't.
I mean,
I can't get out of
just
bed.
Waking up in the morning. Got to thank God,
That's true.
I don't know, but today seems kind of odd.
Hmm.
No barking from the dog, no smog.
All right.
And mama cooked her breakfast with no hog, man.
He got bars, bro.
I got my grub on, though, Chris, and okay. I didn't pig out. And I'm just gonna leave it there, because next line is it's too much to deliver with no beat. If you know, you know. We finished up 3-4 doc. That thing is donezo.
It's and, so you've been applying it.
I've been
places,
submitting.
Right?
I've been finally submitting to festivals, and it's expensive. It sucks.
Yeah.
Friend of mine warned me that it was going to be expensive. Who, you know, he's submitted. He's made movies before, and I was like, yeah, I'm sure it will be whatever. And it's like, no, it actually like really is. Like, there's some festivals where the fees are like, just to submit to one festival, it's like over $100.
It's
nuts.
I mean, I kind of get it because it does cost money to put those things on, but
yeah,
it's like, who's even really watching these? Like, is it like an actual legitimate selection committee, or is it just interns that are working on college credit?
I think it just depends on the festival. I know, like, when we were, I don't know if it's still this way, but I remember we both, I think, interned for the Jacksonville Film Festival 1 year.
Yeah, I was in 2010.
Yeah, and it was like, yeah, so their shit's probably way different. But at the time, it was like, hey, you're an intern, just show up every, so I don't even remember how often, it was like once a week. Come through for like 3 hours, 2 hours, watch some short films, leave your notes. And it was like literally like that. It was like, come to this room, there will be a bunch of DVDs.
Yeah.
Pop one in, watch it, take notes. Like, they had a sheet. It was like, leave your notes. And that's probably what helped decide if things get in or not. And I was like, I'm not qualified to do this, man. I've literally never touched a camera.
Yeah, it's like I'm in my like first year of film classes. Like, yeah. I'm just granted, you know, if you're into film, you probably have a decent idea of if this movie is worth showing or not.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't even remember a single movie I watched or a screenplay I read. I don't even remember if I read screenplays. I think there were a couple. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I did.
Reading them, though.
I don't recall it. I know that's what I have written in my like old ass resumes for, you know, when I still had to put my internships on my resumes. But
yeah,
you know, yeah, so
sorry, I grabbed a piece of ice in my mouth and I was like, shit, I got to get away from the fucking mic.
No, it's all good. So yeah, so what was that? How long did that process take you? You submitted to what, about 6 to 10?
So far, we submitted to 9. There are still on this list. Here, I have a list. It's in another tab. I think there were like 45 originally.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, well, it's because I kind of just went and picked the ones I wanted. And then I think we added up how much that was going to cost. It was going to cost like $1,200. And it was just like, okay, well, we're not going to do that. So then I kind of narrowed it down to here on this list. I have 24 that I think are like the ones that I would like to submit to.
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to cost $748. So I was like, okay, well, we're not going to do that either. So basically what I did was, you know, it's a music documentary,
mm-hmm.
and there is festivals out there that are specifically for music documentaries.
Yeah.
Super niche, but I was like, whatever, let's do that. Let's apply to the ones that are made for the thing we made.
Yeah.
So that was the first thing. And then secondly, it was like, let's get to some more local things that are smaller and closer to Boise,
mm-hmm.
where like they'll maybe relate to it more.
Yeah,
they'll like kind of understand the story a bit better. And at that point, that's where we kind of had like 9 things. So far, we submitted to, the closest one in terms of dates like coming up is Philly Independent Film Festival.
Well, that was just reviewed like on Friday, right?
Yeah.
You submitted on Thursday and they reviewed on Friday?
I think we submitted on Monday.
Oh, okay.
And I think that they technically reviewed on Tuesday or Wednesday, but then they told us like, you're going to hear back that, I don't know, it's delayed. So I don't know. But the festival itself is mid-May, the 16th to the 20th in Philly.
Oh, shit.
So if we were to get picked, I'd probably be like, yeah, cool, I want to go, because it's the first time I'd really see it at a festival that, you know, mm-hmm. I don't have any connection to or whatever.
Yeah, and I mean, it's Philly. It's a quick train ride.
It'd be a premiere, you know? It's the premiere.
So what's really the goal with that? Is it to hopefully win an award, or like, is there prize money?
Oh yeah, some of them have prize money. I think I never really checked the awards. My goal was more like submit it to these things and hopefully have someone see it who wants to maybe, I don't know. I don't think anyone will buy it because it's just not worth, it's not something worth spending money on.
Yeah, especially but with all the licensing we'd have to do.
We wouldn't have to do shit.
Well, but they would.
Yeah, but
it's just not profitable.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, unless someone wants to tell a built spill story, but.
Sure, sure.
But I don't know, whatever. Regardless, I just don't think it's going to get bought. It has nothing to do with the licensing. I just think it's just not interesting enough to get bought.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying that in a bad way either, because every time I say that shit about the movie, people are like, why are you so negative about your movies? I'm not negative. I'm being fucking realistic. Niche, like, I know what a good movie is, and I know what I made is fine for my first attempt. It's just not a good movie. Like, it just isn't. But whatever, it's niche and it might have appeal, and the people who it resonates with, it's going to resonate hard and they're going to love it.
Yeah,
but that's maybe 1% of viewers, so it's I'm not really concerned about it. I think the goal is, one, to learn how this works. Mm-hmm. Right, that's number one goal.
Mm-hmm.
Two, if it was to get in somewhere, maybe meet people who are interested.
Yeah.
And like are like, hey, I like your style, I would like to help you on your next project.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the goal. That's it. Like, I don't care about, I think we've already succeeded by learning the process and learning how it works. So next time we can approach it in a different way. And like,
it's a learning experience.
Yeah. It's always just to learn.
Next film that you make, you'll include the application fees in the budget,
in the
right?
Budget. Yeah. I mean, well, yeah, I will. I will.
the budget that
I'll set aside like $1,500 or something at least. Right. But this one, the budget technically was $10,000.
Yeah.
Cause like you have to put that kind of, I guess you don't have to, but Film Freeway is the website to do all this application. So Film Freeway kind of has a monopoly on, like, it's a really good website. So I'm not saying monopoly in a bad way, but if you're submitting to festivals, you have to do it on Film Freeway. I found a handful maybe that don't use Film Freeway. And like one of them was actually a music film festival in Moscow.
Oh.
So I submitted to that one, and that was free. And that was cool. It was free and it wasn't on Film Freeway, which is a Google form. Well, that's sick.
Yeah. International. But
For this one, you have to put your specs. So like one of the specifications is production budget. And so I was just like, I don't know, 10,000 technically.
You should submit to one in Moscow, Idaho.
I would, but it is already, the submission period passed.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. But I had that one pulled up, but it was too late. And that's the thing, is a lot of these already happened in the first 3 months of the year. So we just missed them. The last one I have on the list actually just happened as of when this posts. The previous weekend.
Okay.
Sun Valley is like a big, the biggest one in Idaho. And so that just was from March. It's the last weekend of March, first weekend of April every year. So it just happened. So I have that here as the final one we're going to submit to.
So you're going to submit to it next year?
Yeah. Early bird opens, I think, in like July or August. So I'm just going to submit right away and then be like, hey, if it screens, great. If it doesn't, who cares? The movie's already old.
It's done.
Yeah. But other than Philly, submitted to, I'll name drop a couple. One in Belgrade called Doc and Rhythm.
Doc and Rhythm?
Yeah, Music Doc Film Fest. One in Bucharest called Doc Station, which is another music documentary film festival. Albuquerque Film and Music Experience, because, one of the main bands in it is from Albuquerque,
sure.
So I figure that's good. The Lausanne Underground Film and Music Festival in Switzerland. Cactus Club, independent
Club.
Film festival in Milwaukee, because it's punk as fuck, and I was like, that's actually a cool place to probably do it.
Yeah, that's dope.
Doc NYC here in New York.
Sure.
That's probably the biggest one we submitted to, I think, so far. And Porto Post Doc, which is it's in Porto, Portugal. It's documentaries, and it has a music doc category.
Cool.
And then, of course, Twin Falls Sandwiches Film Festival.
Twin Falls Sandwiches?
Yeah, I just like how it's called Twin Falls Sandwiches Film Festival. It says, we love films and we love sandwiches, and making films is a lot like making sandwiches. I was like, yeah, I like this. And plus, it's Twin Falls. It's right down the street from Boise. I was like, fuck it.
Damn, why that's not? Awesome.
Yeah, there's a few more.
Isn't that where Doug is originally from, Twin Falls?
I think so, maybe, probably. That sounds
somewhere
right.
Somewhere like that.
And then there's other ones that I'm going to apply to. They're specifically like, music ones. one in Minnesota I'm excited for called Sound Unseen.
Okay.
So that'll be cool. And then there's another one in London called Dock and Roll.
That one's so dope.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. Yeah, now my next step, I guess, is figuring out what to do with this trailer. You know, trying to sort out, like, when to, like, should I, right now it's just on Vimeo. It's like, should I post it on Twitter and try to start, like, getting some sort of reaction to it and traction or something like that? Or should I just kind of just let it rock and just let the film festival thing play out and see what happens? Hmm. I don't know.
The trailer that you made for Tree Fort? For, like,
the, yeah, the trailer for the film. But I, yeah, I don't know. I'm not sure what to do with it. I showed it to someone last night and they were like, yeah, I mean, it's a good video. And I was like, okay. I was like, all right, I'm not showing this to anyone anymore.
What?
It's like, I'm just going to put it on the fucking internet and let it.
I thought it was a good trailer.
Naturally propagate. It is a good trailer, but it's just like, it's such a specific thing. Like,
yeah.
I showed it to someone who has no interest in underground music, no interest in underground art. Like, so it's just like, well, yeah, what do you expect? You know, I say you lead a horse to water, but as that horse ain't catching, it's not going to be a fisherman.
No,
it's not going to teach itself to fish.
No, that's
it's not.
I've never seen a horse who can fish.
No, me neither. But one day, Chris, you wrote some shit down here. Knights of the Editing Table again.
Yeah. So, we've talked about Knights of the Editing Table before. They are the company that is behind Excalibur for Premiere, Watchtower, Grave Robber, a couple other things that I haven't used because I couldn't get them to work right. But they sent an email the other day, and it's about a new project that the creator has embarked on, and it's called Knights of the Editing Table, The Game. It's an extension for Premiere. Basically, it's the creator like thought about how editing could be a game, and they kind of, you know, because Knights of the Editing Table, they went with like a medieval type aesthetic for it. And as far as I can tell, like they basically it comes with some clips and some sound effects, and basically you just lay the clips out in a certain order, and it, you know, gives you fun little sound effects, Easter eggs, whatever. And it's just trying to gamify the edit a little bit.
Yeah.
Now I haven't tried it out, and it seems like very like
aesthetic only and rudimentary.
Yeah. Like
it's more like to me, it plays more like an April Fool's joke or something.
Yeah. You know? Well, I mean, honestly, that might be when they sent the email.
But it's pretty much like the way that the guy says it in the little video describing it. He pretty much says like, hey, when I was a kid, I loved playing computer games. And I remember every time you start a game, like the first thing you see is the menu screen, and the menu screen gives you the sense of like the upcoming adventure and what's about to happen.
Sure.
So he just takes like the Premiere new project window or like all that screen where you pick a new project or a whole project. And he just redrew the entire thing to be like a video, like a computer game.
Yeah. So
opening screen.
Yeah. So there's three options for games. You can play a standard, a campaign, or a multiplayer game. And I think that's basically like, you know, it's just your normal project. And
team
then
project
campaign
or
would be team project, and then multiplayer would be productions or whatever.
That's
or maybe
a really
vice versa.
Great way to look at it, though. That kind of like makes it so much clearer what those things are.
Yeah.
Because to me, I'm like, I don't know, team project, production. I don't know what the fuck they are. I'm just gonna do a normal project, and it's like, oh, this makes more sense. Normal project, single player, multiplayer, production, and then team is online multiplayer or something.
Sure.
Like
yeah,
that.
Exactly. It's pretty cool. I think maybe over the next week or two I might download it and, you know, just like spend 30 minutes playing with it, see what it does.
Yeah.
I'll report back. I don't think it's something to be taken too seriously, but I just think it's cool that someone like even had that idea and then implemented it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, mad respect to them or
to
him.
Yeah. Yeah. They do some pretty good stuff there. I know I clicked overview and it said page not found. So I literally know nothing about this, but I'm hoping that you give it a go, report back next week. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's, I'm holding you to it this time. I'm going to make sure you do it.
Okay.
Speaking of the medieval idea, I went and saw, maybe last thing we'll touch on before we get to round two, before we get to the next fucking segment. I saw Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, yeah, interesting. So
Dungeons and Dragons was fucking lit.
I've heard that it's like a fun movie.
Yes, it was really, really fun.
That's all I care about when I see a movie, really. Like, I know a lot of people are like, is this a good movie? You know, like, did you enjoy watching it? That's how I rate my movies. Yeah, and
I feel the same way. I think we've talked about it before. We're like, I don't know. I used to be the kind of person who, you know, when I was younger, who was like, oh, but if it's not a film, it ain't shit. Like, if mm-hmm. it's not real art, it's like, I don't know. Art doesn't matter, actually. Like, it's just more about how you feel when you're watching
it. Yeah, I don't watch movies for art. I watch them for entertainment. And if it's entertaining, then it's for me. And so, like, I didn't even know that this movie existed until like a week ago when I started seeing a ton of commercials. It seems like they just started promoing.
They ramped up promo. Yeah. Big time. It felt like,
but I've also, you know, from actual D&D players, I've been hearing that it's just a good, you know, it's a good movie. It's a fun movie and it reflects D&D in a good way.
Yeah. So I've never played D&D. I just kind of went on a whim because I don't know. It's just like, here's the thing. I was like, we got out of it and I was like, that was a really good, like, original movie. That's cool. They're making original movies again.
Yeah.
And then Leo was like, it's based on Dungeons and Dragons. Like, I was like, oh fuck, you're right. I guess it's not original at all. But it's just so funny that now we're like, okay, fine. Just not another Marvel movie. I don't care. Make the Barbie movie. I'll watch it. Make the fucking Dungeons and Dragons movie. I'll watch it. Make Sonic. Make Mario. I don't care. I'll watch them. Just no more Marvel, please.
I'd still think that's an original movie, though. Like, just because it's based on a game. Like,
well, that's kind of the thing is, like, I think IP is king now.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. Like, because you can make a compelling story about anything. It's just like, let's have the world just ready to go.
Yeah, but I'm sure, like, the characters in it aren't a part of the original Dungeons and Dragons lore. Game because you kind of create your own characters in that.
I do think the characters are, again, I haven't played, but I'm pretty sure the characters are sort of like archetypes. Like,
well, yeah, but that's how you game. Play the game.
That's the
yeah.
game, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I think, I like I said, I thought it was really cool. It's probably my favorite movie I've seen this year.
Okay.
I'm trying to think of other movies that I saw. I saw Skinamarink and that sucked. But I thought Skinamarink was good in its own way, but it was just not good.
Yeah.
Whatever. Dungeons and Dragons was lit, bro. Like, I went and saw it at Nighthawk. And the way that they do it at Nighthawk is like 20 minutes before the movie ends, they drop your check off. And I was just like watching this thing. I was like thrilled. And then suddenly they bring the check and I was like, how's it already been like the whole movie? What the fuck? That was like the first time that's happened in a long time for me in a movie theater. I was like, damn, shit was tight. I guess one other cool thing is when it opens, they open. It's a bit of an awkward, weird scene because the way they filmed it, it was two cameras. It's the cast sitting there, just normal, not like their characters. They're just the cast. Two cameras, one, there's like seven of them, right? Like four sitting and three on stools behind them. There's one camera, it's a wide shot, and they're all looking at that camera. And then there's another camera off to the side that is more close-ups, but they're still looking at that one camera. So it basically, they're talking to the camera, and when it establishes this one thing, and then you cut, and they're like looking still at the other camera. It's a little awkward the way they filmed it.
Okay.
But the message was like, it was like 30 seconds, and they were like, thanks for coming to the movie theater to watch this. Like,
oh, if that's
people
cool.
Like, the fact that people come to the theater is what helps us like make the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, if it wasn't for people seeing them in theaters, we wouldn't be able to make them. And also, thank you for like watching it the way it was intended or whatever. And I was like, hell yeah, let's fucking go.
Yeah, I don't know where I read it, but I saw an article that was basically like, even with streaming options, people are still going to the movies and they're not going to stop. Like, maybe the numbers aren't what they once were, but the demand is still there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like I said, though, I recommend it. If you're going to go see it, go check it out. It's really good. Like, if you even thought about, oh, maybe I'll go see it, you know, go watch it. It's a really good movie. And like,
I think I might start going to movies in theaters again. I mean, like, I never like purposely stopped. It just hasn't really worked out. But, you know,
I mean, it's the year of Hasbro, bro. Because isn't Barbie Hasbro as well?
Yeah, Barbie is something I really would like to see. What is Dungeons and Dragons Hasbro?
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. I had no idea. Yeah, Barbie seems really cool. It's got I just love Ryan Gosling. I think he's a fun actor. It's got Michael Cera in it. I just found out. Word. Yeah, he plays a discontinued character.
I heard it was supposed to be really good.
I'm sure it will be. I want to see the Super Mario Brothers movie. I know it's like probably going to be a campy kids movie, but I don't care. Yeah. Like, it's Mario, and I'm sure it's going to be fun.
Mushroom Kingdom, here we come. But yeah, I think it's going to be cool. It's going to be better than the Super Mario Brothers.
Oh, that's a classic. John Leguizamo. Yeah, John Leguizamo said he won't watch the Super Mario movie because they didn't cast any Latin characters for the leads. And like, I kind of get it, but also they're Italian. Like,
yeah, I think an Italian dude should have been the main person.
Yeah, I mean, I don't love the casting, but also I think
it should have been you know what? Wasn't this a sketch that someone did? I was gonna say it should have been Michael Imperioli, but I think that was like, wasn't that like an SNL sketch?
I don't know. I know they did a Mario Kart sketch with Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, that Mario Kart shit was crazy. We were talking about that, I think, a few weeks ago. That when they were like, wow, they're putting all this money into ship, they're not paying the editors.
I don't think we ever
followed up on that.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure they resolved the strike. All right,
we're gonna put two things on the table for next week. One, you're going to download that fucking thing and see how it is. Sure. Two, we're going to see what happened with the SNL strike.
Okay, cool.
Check in a month later.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, you're going to take on David Lynch.
Oh. Welcome back, Sizzlers. You know, it's been a while since we've had a Chris versus.
It's been a while.
And, you know, it's just... I want to finally get a victory.
Yeah, have you not won?
Did I win? I thought I tied once. Did I win?
I don't have the results up in front of me, but I think you definitely tied Wes Anderson. That I remember.
Okay,
but
I'm excited for the new Wes Anderson movie too.
Oh yeah, what is it?
Oh, it's, what is it, Asteroid City or something like that. It has an insane cast, which big surprise. Yeah,
he can do it.
But you know, it's I like his movies. I don't love them. Like, I wouldn't say he's my favorite director, but the aesthetic's always fun. The stories are pretty much always the same, you know.
Yeah.
Always a little bit quirky, but typically he has really good actors in it, and I enjoy the actors' performances the most.
That's all valid, but we're not talking about Wes Anderson today.
No, we're not.
Today
we're
you're
not.
Taking on the GOAT in many ways. David Lynch. Is that a David Lynch impression?
Yes.
That's a goat. Kind of sounded like David Lynch laughing or something.
Full disclosure, I have never seen a David Lynch movie. I know that's almost blasphemous. I think I've seen like a scene from Eraserhead. And I've watched Twin Peaks a long time ago, like when I was a teenager. But... you know, like I recognize the names of the movies. I know they're good movies. I know they're critically acclaimed, like Mulholland Drive and Blue Velvet. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I'm going to be outmatched on this one. He's an interesting mind.
Well, you never know. I mean, who knows? This could be your first win. I guess we'll see. Let's kick it off with David Lynch's first tip. This is again from the Outstanding Screenplays YouTube channel. This is these are going to be about screenwriting.
Okay.
These tips.
Okay.
So
I like that.
This is something where I think you can go toe to toe with this guy. The tail of the tape, David Lynch, 6'7".
He's
103 pounds. No, I'm just making shit up. Chris, 5'1", 503 pounds.
I'm 5'9". I'm about 180.
Built like a joke. Sorry, I was fucked up. All right, here we go. Tip number one. Film is a beautiful language. Use it to do the abstraction of the emotion and other film elements.
Oh, no. I am outmatched. What?
So, okay.
Please repeat.
Film is a beautiful language, so use it to do the abstraction of emotion and other film elements. So you basically use film to create... abstraction, like,
yeah.
So it doesn't have, like, maybe it's like show don't tell in a way, but even
maybe he means like subverting the typical idea of emotion, or
I think you're just saying keep it abstract and really reflect feeling, right? Because like a lot of his movies, it's not, he's not going to be like hitting, he just nails a feeling in a scene. He doesn't necessarily like have the character like say something. It's just the feeling of the scene speaks for what the character's doing.
Okay. I mean, I'm going to be honest, that sounds a little bit more like a directing thing than a screenwriting thing, but
wow.
Okay. Yeah.
Immediately coming right for him.
Look, I'm just saying, I think that's perfectly valid if that's your style. But I don't think every movie needs to be abstract. I don't think that the feelings necessarily have to be abstract either. I think, yeah, it certainly adds a certain element to it, but I like a lot of movies that aren't complicated. You know, I don't care if it's very obvious how I'm supposed to feel or react. I don't need to be confused by movies.
I think what he's saying in terms of the art, like the artistic part of it is valid. You know, it's
true. Yeah, absolutely. I don't disagree, but I just,
it's not the only way. Tip number two, I have enough information to make my decision.
That's fine. Tip number two,
it's only a myth that you need to suffer to create. Free yourself from the negativity and enjoy the creative process.
Yeah, I actually really like that one. I know they say artist suffering, but I think there are a lot of talented artists who have never really suffered. Let's be real, especially in Hollywood, a lot of it is nepotism and people who were born into the industry. And, maybe their personal lives haven't been perfect, but they didn't exactly struggle to get where they are. I'm sure they worked hard, but, you know, sometimes you're born in the right environment, or you work on that talent and you don't need to suffer to tell a story necessarily.
For me,
especially if you have a good imagination, you can imagine suffering, right?
Yeah, or you can research suffering. You know what I mean? Like for me though, it's interesting because artist suffering is just a way of saying conflict needs to exist, right? Because it's like, yeah, artist suffering, you can take it in a very big scale, like you see, it's an immense tragedy. But art is suffering in a lot of ways. In Seinfeld, when someone takes Kramer's parking spot, that's suffering.
Sure.
It's a different level of suffering.
Yeah.
But the stakes are always different. You know what I mean? So I think it's a way of saying like there needs to be conflict in a story to move it along.
Yeah. The suffering doesn't need to be about the artist. It could be about the subject of the story.
For me, it's the second part of what he said. Free yourself from the negativity and enjoy the creative process. That's something that I always struggle with, because I'm always like,
oh yeah,
because negativity is very closely tied to criticism. And I think it's really important to find that balance between criticism, but also not being overly negative on it. Like trying to, you know, elevate something with criticism rather than chop it down. But enjoying the creative process is definitely important. Like if you have fun making it, you'll probably have fun watching.
Yeah, honestly, like if you're not enjoying the creative process, why are you even doing it? Like at that point, it's just a job, right? It's not a passion.
Yeah.
And obviously you're not going to enjoy every project, to be honest, I rarely enjoy the creative process. Just because of, you know, a lot of the things that we work on aren't necessarily, you know, that creative. Mm-hmm. And when they are, sometimes it's just frustrating and annoying, and it's something you just have to work through, and you're not always going to enjoy it. But
I mean, I think
if you can, it's better.
I think that's kind of my goal for the rest of the year, is to mostly start working on creative things. Like,
yeah,
to do like doing stuff for money is cool, but like, I think I'm ready to start like, you know, and ideally it's do creative things for money. I still want to do corporate stuff, and I still want to do that because it's like, it's good and it's a great way to build a foundation and build a business. But like, I think I'm going to start trying to dip my toes into like figuring out how to start moving in a direction of like creative things also happening and potentially earning money.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember the last time I really edited something creative. Like where I was telling a story.
I definitely don't want to edit anything at all.
Yeah.
My goal with the creativity is to do development. Like I'm done editing.
Really,
I don't want to ever edit a creative piece that is for a network or anything.
Yeah.
I'll edit creative things for myself.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna ever edit a creative thing for notes. Never. I don't want execs. Yeah, I don't want execs notes on my shit. I just don't want.
Yeah.
All right. Number three, I got enough to make my decision. Number three, sure. The more habitual, that's in all caps, your daily routine is, the more your mind is free for creating.
Okay.
All right. Those all caps. Well, free.
Yeah,
right?
No, I get it.
I don't know. Is that, it's like if you just are like Homer Simpson and you have just like white shirts, blue pants, and you don't have to worry about that.
Yes.
You're going to be focused on creativity.
Yeah. It's like the Steve Jobs outfit, right? I think what he's trying to say is like when you have a routine and, you know, you're always, you know, in the same space writing at the same time, like you don't have to worry about the outside noise. You don't have to like find time to work on this project. You don't have to like find a random coffee shop to do something. Like you're just already, it's kind
in
of
the flow.
Yeah, it's built into your lifestyle at that point. So when you are doing your art, you can just focus on that and you can shut out the outside noise.
Yeah.
Granted, I don't think everyone works that way. I think a lot of people just, they, and
it, it's for me, it's a hard disagree. I think like, yeah, habits maybe are great, but I think sometimes chaos can also breed creativity.
Yeah. Well, and you know, for some people they need to wait until they have that like creative impulse, that spark, and they really need to feel it. And maybe that's part of what he's arguing about is like, you can't always just rely on like feeling that. Sometimes you just have to power through and keep creating.
Yeah, true.
And
yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, and because otherwise if you're always waiting until you feel it, you might never feel it. You also might not get anything done.
When you do feel it, if you've been waiting this whole time and you feel it, that means the first thing you make, you know, you wasted it basically. Cuz you have to, it's also practice. Like you have to be able to,
yeah.
It's better to have like 100 ideas and finally the 99th one or 100th one is like the one that actually sticks, but by the time you get there you're like, oh, I know how to do it.
Yeah.
Whereas like if your first idea is the one that you're like, you might fuck up everything all the time, you know what I mean? You might do it wrong.
And I remember like when I was in high school for creative writing, you know, a big important part of being a writer was to write every day, and like that's part of how you get through writer's block is you just keep writing. It doesn't matter what you're writing about. Eventually, you know, it's shoot or shoot. You have to shoot yourself out of a slump, right?
Yes.
You're not going to get better by not doing it. You just have to keep doing it. And look, not everything you make is going to be good, but you have to be prolific. And eventually one of those things is going to be good or worth improving.
Yeah. Got to keep on doing it. Number four, find your own voice. Stay true to that voice. And always insist on the final cut.
Okay.
That's fire.
So
that's fire. The last part, always insist on the final cut, is like balling as hell.
So is he saying that
probably
like,
makes it hard to get work sometimes, but like that's fucking tight.
Like basically just be the dictator for the final cut. Like be the,
just insist on having the final cut, right? So like you are the one who gets final cut.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
they can give the all the notes they want, but you get final cut. So you decide if you want.
I mean, if you're the director, then absolutely, of course. Yeah. I mean, and I know it's weird because you have different interests. You have the studios who are trying to make money. That's why.
Yeah, this doesn't sound like a screenwriting tip either, actually.
Yes. I mean, so frequently, you know, a movie will come out with a director's cut eventually. And I don't know, like, does he differentiate there? Like, is it okay to have a director's cut and then like a studio cut?
I think he wants the final cut. I think he wants the cut. Like, he doesn't want to put out a director's cut later that's like, this is actually what I meant.
Yeah.
By that time, no one's going to, they've already seen the movie, you know?
I think it's difficult because, you know, that kind of advice, that's only going to fly for a few select directors, you know? Like, someone really starting out isn't going to have that kind of power, even if they're the director. You know, they're typically not the ones funding the movie, so unfortunately the money is power and the people in power have the final say.
It's an awfully classist take.
I mean, look, it's just reality.
Hey Chris, I already made up my mind on this one. All
that's
right.
Fine.
Number five, write every major idea down as soon as possible. Because you will not forgive yourself if you forget them.
100%. Wow. I cannot agree more. Wow. That is probably the best tip I've heard in this entire series, honestly, because it's so true. Like, even for what we learned last week, we always fucking forget it, dude. Like, I have one that I've thought of like three times and I keep forgetting it. I never write it down. And honestly, for all I know, maybe I said it already and I just don't remember that I said it. But
that's how important it was.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, even,
I've been forgetting ideas for years.
We have a group chat. It's called Sketch Ideas Only. It's got what, maybe 6 to 8 people in it.
Yeah.
And it's mostly dormant, but every once in a while we'll get a random text at 2 a.m. And it's just,
I will say, ever since I got the new phone, it got rid of all the old ones, so it kind of sucks. But I think at some point, whoever has access to it, you should go through, and we should just like copy and paste all of them out of there, because
we should.
There's actually a lot of really fucking good ideas.
Yeah, so some of that stuff is really funny, and like, look, that's just little comedy sketches, little things that we think are funny.
Yeah.
But you know, for any creative, when you have a good idea, if you don't write it down, you probably will forget.
The thing
it.
With all those little bits too is that they all add up. So like, you know, you might have one little thing that is like, I don't know, you see a TikTok and like someone gets electrocuted putting up a light and you're like, oh, like whatever, write it down. Because who knows, maybe that becomes motivation for something in a different thing later somewhere.
I mean, that's part of what creativity is, right?
Because you can't be writing everything down though. Yeah, it's true. It is connections. All right, well, here we go. I already made up my mind on this one as well. So I'm getting pretty good at judging these, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
Tip number 6, the most important thing is what you fall in love with. And the reason you fall in love with it is an abstraction. That's pretty Lynchian.
That's very Lynchian. Pretty Lynchian. The most important thing is the thing you fall in love with. I mean, if you're telling a story that you're not passionate about, then it's probably not going to be the best version of that story, right? Yeah. What's the second part? The
reason you fall in love with it is an abstraction. So the reason itself is an abstraction. The reason doesn't matter. What matters is the thing itself, right?
Okay, yeah.
Which that's true.
Yeah, I can't disagree with it. I personally don't know how to apply that information, that knowledge.
Well, for me, I'm just thinking about the Treefort doc. Like, it, you know, telling the idea of, you know, punk music or whatever, Built Spill or whatever, is the thing that matters the most. Like, the reason that I fell in love with that doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't.
It matters like doing justice to the topic. Or I guess it's weird from a documentary perspective.
But. Yeah. Well, the reason why it's not necessarily important to the story that you're telling, but you know, it's important to you. Like,
yeah.
And I think those fingerprints are still going to end up on it.
Totally.
But I guess in an abstract way.
That's what I'm saying. So it's like, don't focus on the reason you fell in love with it, because that's going to come through. Or
Yeah.
I don't know. David Lynch is doing pretty good, honestly. I don't want to give away my hand
here. No, it's fine.
Okay, tip 7. Writer's block only means that you are still finishing writing. I take that back. It says fishing. That's why I was this whole thing is very bizarre.
Abstract.
Writer's block only means that you are still fishing. You are just not catching any fish today. You just need to keep fishing. You need to have patience.
I mean, look, I feel like, you know, 2 or 3 minutes ago, I said basically the same thing. Is like, that's kind of how you get through writer's block. You just keep writing. I agree 100%. I might not phrase it that way, but yeah, sometimes
you don't want to do a fishing metaphor.
Look, it's fine. Sometimes no fish are biting, and
teach a man to fish, right?
Yeah, teach a horse to fish.
Teach a horse to fish.
Yeah,
and it might take your job.
Oh God!
Teach a horse to write; it's gonna write jokes. That's what they're saying.
Was that BoJack Horseman?
Oh yeah, probably. Is that what they based it on?
Teaching a horse to fish?
Yeah, Chris, well, here, I'm writing my notes. Chris wouldn't use that language.
I just wouldn't think of it that way because I thought of it as basketball shooters shoot.
Oh, true.
But it's still perfectly valid. And yeah, I agree 100%. That's the thing about creativity is it's not easy. Like most people can't just like come up with idea after idea and have them work. It takes a lot of effort and, sometimes
that's the key where you say to have them work. Cause I think most people actually can come up with idea after idea. They just might like not.
Yeah, they might not be interesting. They might not make sense together. Yeah. But yeah,
they rarely do. You know, that's why. Yeah, it's like you were saying, the fish thing.
The fish.
You might not catch any fish today. It's just keep fishing. It's okay.
Keep fishing. Eventually, you'll catch a fish.
Every single time we do this segment, they all end up kind of blurring together. Like all the tips, you're like, that's the same thing as tip three.
Yeah.
It's like in reality, there's only three main tips. It's just like keep writing, rewrite what you wrote. And just make the thing.
Yeah, be true to yourself.
That's it. Make the thing. Make the thing you want to make. All right. Tip number 8. Fall in love with the medium you create in, and the ideas will magically start to flow.
I'd say I pretty much agree with that. I don't even necessarily think you need to fall in love with it. I think you just need to have an innate, like a deep understanding of it. Because the more... like whether it's technical or creative knowledge that you have in a medium, the more you're going to be able to understand what you can do with it and in what ways you can subvert it, what ways you can be creative with it, and how you can use it to tell your story in the best way.
I think knowing it like technically and all that is important to being able to tell the story in the best way.
Yeah.
But I don't think that's going to make the ideas start to flow. I think you actually do have to love it.
Well,
because like if you don't love it, like, I don't know. Podcasting, like,
yeah,
I love making shows. I think it's fun. So I can just like come up with them and I'll make them and I'll come up with segments. Like literally, I just love doing that shit. Music. I love music as well, mm-hmm. but I used to love music a lot more. Before I had been doing it for a while, like I really liked it a lot where I could just sit and like every single time I picked up a guitar, it was like a new song. Every single time I picked up a piano or didn't pick it up. But
yeah,
every single time I picked up a piano, man, if I had a dollar, every single time I sat at the piano, like a new song would come out every single time I could make something new. And it was like that. It was like magically it would flow. It was like, I don't know. I'm just making shit up. And now like I've kind of lost a little bit of that passion.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a muscle, though. Like, technically, I can still do it. Like, I can still sit down and just write a song. Like, it'll be done in like 4 hours. It'll be done from zero to finished. But, like, they really flowed when I was really in love with it, I guess, for me personally.
Yeah, I just think that you can't always, like... force yourself into loving something. But you can still be good at it. I mean, like, I don't love editing, but I think having the technical prowess and understanding.
Well, that's another point. That's a great point though. Like for editing, right? Like you don't necessarily, you're not in love with editing.
Yeah.
But you're
good at it. Yeah. I like it, but I'm not,
but you don't have like ideas about editing all the time where you're like, oh, that would be cool. Imagine if we put this thing together and it was edited like this, or imagine if like, you know, just any ideas about post-production.
Yeah.
Once upon
a time I had those ideas, but
I don't even know if I ever had those ideas for editing. I was like, always just like, let me learn the technical elements and mm-hmm. get good. I think for me, I was always like, editing is a means to create a video that I think would be cool.
Yeah. You know? I do ultimately think that if you love it, you're probably going to take more care of it and probably make something better. But, you know, sometimes when you love it, you get too close to the project and you kind of get tunnel vision.
That can backfire too.
Yeah. Sometimes you have to step away and look at it from a very like utilitarian.
I think it's interesting because those are like two different things, right? Falling in love with the medium versus falling in love with the craft. Like I think I'm in love with the craft of editing.
Sure.
So like if someone doesn't take care in their craft and they do some you know, Matt King does these kind of edits all the time where it's just like popping all over the place. And you're like, can you just put like a cross, like a 1 second, like a one frame, two frame cross dissolve on that? So it doesn't like, so the sound's not popping all the time.
I have like, seen some editors who don't 100% take care. And I don't know if it's out of effort or out of lack of knowledge, but it is quite, you know, very small things like those crossfades or just like.
It's stuff that no one else would notice. But to me, like, I think your subconscious mind picks up on it and it ruins kind of the idea of the whole piece. And it's just stuff like that, like caring about that craft.
Mm-hmm.
If you take a step back, you're like, why do I care about this? I should not like, let's not create any more speed bumps. Just get the project done and get it out the door. Like no one's, the stakes is low. You know what
the
I'm saying?
The stakes is low.
But I don't know. Yeah, I think I heard enough on that.
All right.
Number nine, we're two away. We have a really, really close game on our hands, honestly.
Sick.
Yeah, this is good stuff. Number nine, when writing down an idea, write it with such words that when you read those words later, the idea will come back to you in full.
Okay. I see where he's coming from with this.
I have failed this a lot of times.
Yeah, no, I get it. 'Cause sometimes like, not even from a creative standpoint, if I just think about taking notes in class, I'll go back to them and I'll be like, what the fuck does this even mean? Like they're just words and they don't necessarily like ignite anything in me. I don't necessarily remember the context.
You gotta nail the keywords. Like you really, it's like a computer. You have to just get the metadata right, because like for me, I'll even do this. You've probably seen some of the notes on my desk, like from calls, like they're just all over the place.
Yeah.
When I take notes by hand, it just ends up turning into a big old whirlwind. And sometimes there's just like random shit that'll just be like, I don't know, free V travel. And it's like, what the fuck is free V travel? And it's like, no, I know what free V travel means. Luckily, because I put two main keywords for
me. Yeah. No, I absolutely agree. Because like, if you write down an idea that you don't understand when you go back to it, then you didn't write down the idea. Like you didn't do anything useful for yourself. This is, you know, I think that speech to text or like dictating to your phone is actually a really useful way to do this, because sometimes when you're writing or, you know, typing, whatever, just taking some notes, you want to just get it out quickly and like not think too much about it. But you can spend that same amount of time just like recording a voice memo.
It's kind of like in Twin Peaks.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, the main characters always recording little memos and stuff.
It's important.
I think I know who wins this round. Tip number 10, if you decide to make an abstract film, don't try to define it. Just make an honest film and let the audience interpret it for themselves.
That's so abstract of him. I mean, it's weird because, I think if you're making an abstract film, then you kind of want it to be open to interpretation, because otherwise, why are you making it abstract? Like, if you're making it abstract, it doesn't necessarily tell you one thing, because that doesn't make sense.
Right.
If you want to be told one thing, then you wouldn't make it abstract. You would just make a standard film.
I mean, I'm with them. Abstraction is like, if that's the goal, definitely just keep it as loose as you can.
Yeah, I mean, open to interpretation is kind of the point there, so I absolutely agree with them. I couldn't make an abstract movie though. Like,
really?
I don't think so. Like, I don't, I'm just not in love with the medium.
There you go. Yeah, that makes sense. Look, you've already learned. All right, I got the scores, I got it all tallied up, and
this
one came down to the wire.
It always does.
This one came down to the wire.
All right.
First tip, film is a beautiful language. Use it to do the abstraction of emotion and other film elements. So basically that one was,
we jumped into the deep end.
I started it off wild. It says what I got on my notes, not a screenwriting tip, but it's valid if it's your style. I believe that's a direct quote from you. So I thought I couldn't really parse what the tip was. And I think you did a good job like handling that hot potato that I threw away. So I gave that one to you.
All right. Thanks.
Tip number two. It's only a myth that you need to suffer to create. Free yourself from the negativity and enjoy the creative process. again, you said they say art is suffering, but there's a lot of talented artists who haven't suffered. And if you're not enjoying the creative process, why are you doing it? And then you said, I rarely enjoy the creative process. That was a direct quote.
Wow, I said that.
So I said, this one resonated a lot with me, so I gave myself the points. I thought that
I like
was cool,
that.
You know, free yourself from negativity, enjoy the creative process.
No, I thought you had some good, because you focused on the second half of that quote.
I gave myself the points, so we're tied.
All right.
David Lynch still has zero. tip number three, the more habitual your daily routine is, the more your mind is free for creating.
Yeah, you straight up disagreed with this one, didn't you?
Yes, I hard disagreed. I wrote hard disagree, though. But this is where your quote came in. Shooters shoot. You said when you have a routine, you don't have to worry about the outside noise. I was just like, I don't think you got to have a routine. But the shooter shoot was a great quote. You really brought it all back. Okay. But I gave myself the points on this one because I just think it's cool that I disagreed.
Yeah.
So David Lynch still losing. You got one. I got two.
All right.
Tip number four, find your own voice. Stay true to that voice and always insist on the final cut. I wrote David got this one down pat.
Okay.
And you said that advice is only going to fly for a few select directors. So I wrote bootlicker, classist motherfucker. So David gets the points. David Lynch.
All right.
So you and him are tied. Number five, write every major idea down as soon as possible. Because if you forget it, you're not going to forgive yourself. I wrote David is on a heater. Chris has been forgetting ideas for years. And David gets the points.
God.
The most important thing is what you fall in love with. And the reason you fall in love with it is an abstraction. It is very Lynchian. And I said, holy shit, David, take a bow.
Yeah.
Because that's three he's racked up in a row.
Yeah. So I mean, you got to give that one to him.
He's on three. I'm on two. You're on one.
All right.
For number seven, writer's block only means that you're still fishing. You're just not catching fish. Just keep fishing, you know.
Just
the fish.
Fishing.
The fish will show up. Chris, you said 2 or 3 minutes ago, I said literally the same thing, but you wouldn't use that language. Instead, you said shooters shoot.
That's true.
And I like how you brought that back. So I gave you the points on that.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Number eight, fall in love with the medium you create and then the ideas will magically flow. Chris doesn't believe in love. He thinks you just need to be technically sound.
That's not entirely the sentiment.
More or less. I gave myself the points on that one.
Okay.
Because I brought up the idea of love of a craft. I thought that was
cool. Wait, so you have four now?
I have three.
Okay, you have three.
I have three.
He has four.
He has three. And you have two.
Oh.
Number nine, when writing down an idea, write it with such words that when you read them later, the idea will come back to you in full. Chris wrote, I get it, taking notes, etc. Or that's what you said.
Wow, great notes that you took there.
Then you said speech to text is a really useful way to do this. I just gave you the points. I thought you really resonated with what he said. So we're all tied.
Perfect.
And then finally, if you decide to make an abstract film, don't try to define it. Just make an honest film and let the audience interpret it for themselves. And your direct quote was, that's so abstract of him. And I felt the same way. So David Lynch gets the points.
That's
David
fair.
David Lynch gets the points. With four, he defeats Chris in Chris versus special referee match. I was the one refereeing. It's like WWE, but for... But like way less boring.
Yeah.
Or way more boring.
It's like an abstract WWE.
Yeah. All right. Well, is it time? For what we learned last week?
It sure is.
All right, here we go. What we learned
last week.
So I'm going to start us off. I learned last week that, so you know the...
Why don't you go ahead and kick us off?
You know the U.S. Postal Service, like the small flat rate boxes?
Mm-hmm.
So apparently they have a weight limit of 70 pounds. And which seems like a lot
for a small thing,
a small box. Apparently, it is not possible to exceed that weight limit of the small flat rate box, even if you filled it with the densest substance on Earth.
Wow.
Which is kind of it's kind of funny.
So why would they do that?
I don't know.
The postal
they just made the weight limit something that's like impossible to even do.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a small box. Like
the U.S. Postal Service is like. Such a blessing, and it's insane that we have it, and they're like the last bastion of hope. They actually like are ethical, it seems like, but also their job is so fucking hard, and
it
I
is.
Think that
and they're always getting their funding cut.
Yeah, if they were to like, I don't know, if they like we don't deserve them, basically. You know what I mean?
I agree. Dude, I love the U.S. Postal Service. Yeah. Like, for me, they're always the most reliable. And shit, without the U.S. Postal Service, like, I wouldn't have been able to find drugs for nearly a decade.
It's just really frustrating because it's like, you know, technically, there's so many options that they could have gone. They could have gone in a lot of different directions, I think, to try to maximize profit and grow it as a company. But that's not its focus. It's not a company. It's like a utility almost.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It's really frustrating that, like, you know, we'll put a bunch of money towards like the military.
Yeah.
We
got
whatnot.
a $1 trillion war machine to fund.
So it's whatever. It's fucking, you know how I feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
What I learned is that remember when Pepsi just recently rebranded back to almost the old school Pepsi logo.
Oh, they did?
Yeah. So now it's like a circle with a little wave in the middle.
The fat belly anymore.
And it says Pepsi in a nice, like, bold black font.
Mm-hmm.
But that one you're talking about, that weird, shitty Pepsi logo with like the belly and like the weirdness.
Mm-hmm.
That rebrand cost them $1 million. That logo. To get that logo design cost $1 million.
That's absurd to me.
That's absolutely bonkers. And it gets worse. I found a TikTok that was like 10 most expensive logo redesigns, and one of them that was up there was Accenture. You know Accenture, the consulting firm?
Yeah.
Their logo is like just the word Accenture, and then it's like a little purple kind of greater than symbol,
mm-hmm.
like just pointing one way.
Yeah.
That rebrand cost even more. I don't know the exact number, so I don't want to like talk out of school, but to design like a purple greater than symbol cost like over $1 million. I think it was like maybe over $10 million. I don't even fucking know. But it's just like, bruh, how the fuck is a logo going to cost $1 million? That's
dude,
insane.
I don't know how true this is because it's Daily Mail, and I don't know how trustworthy.
You're talking about the BBC logo?
No, I'm talking about the new We Heart NYC logo.
Oh yeah.
Apparently that cost $20 million, which is just absurd. Like, look, I. For that logo, I like the idea behind it, like the purpose for the Wii Heart, but I think the logo itself is not very good. I don't like the font. I don't like the heart. I think it's all cheaper than the original.
Yeah.
And the fact that cost $20 million is absolutely mind-boggling.
At the end of last year, I think BBC spent over £7 million modernizing their brand, and it was taxpayer funds, and it's like that shit is lame. Here's in a nutshell what it went from BBC to BBC, slightly more spaced out.
Yeah, they basically just slightly changed the font and the size.
And I will say, like, I will defend them a little bit because I think there's more that goes into it. They probably had to come up with a new strategy and like create a bunch of other logos to go into different parts.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah,
you know, so it's like that's just like unfortunately the thing that shows up as like the catch-all and people go, that's the new logo. It's like there's more work that goes into it.
There is
still £7 million. Come on.
Yeah,
man.
Like, I mean, you could,
I know designers who are better than that, who would do that. They would do that job better for like obviously much less.
Yeah, I mean, like some of these logos are, you know, if they were, you know, if they didn't have to jump all through these hoops and like hire consulting firms, all that, if you just had a good graphic designer, you could probably get that same logo for $5,000, you know, like,
and which, you know, obviously 5,000 is probably too cheap, but like,
yeah, but
I guess my point with it is that's why I get kind of frustrated when, you know, when you talk about rates, if you bring up your rate and then someone tells you it's too high, or like someone tell, like I understand it because sometimes it's like the work can reflect like what you charge,
mm-hmm.
but then there's other times and you're like, bruh, like how like I've seen work that, you know, costs way more consistently and it's like just mid.
Yeah
So it's like I don't think, like, you know, a rate that I charge is too high. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but, no, I understand.
Whatever. Rates are a very weird, weird world. The weird and wacky world of rates. All right, Chris. I mean, I think that's it for the show. If you want to do the social plugs, then we can get the hell out of here.
Yeah, absolutely. We are at Sizzle Reel Gang.
Yeah, everywhere.
Yeah, Twitter, Instagram, other places probably too. Who knows?
I'm gonna get us on TikTok at some point.
Yeah.
We got Sizzle Reel Gang, thewebsite.com.
Still active. And then we have SizzleReelGang@gmail.com. Send us an email. We will read it aloud on the show, unless you don't want us to, and you just want to send us an email and and, you know, tell us what a great job we're doing.
Yeah. Yeah. And, or, I mean, more importantly, text us,
call us. We have the Sizzle Reel cold line.
Oh man, that shit is cold as hell, bro.
Super cold. That shit icy. That is
332-333-4361. Call in, text in. Nancy, let us know what you're thinking about the pilgrims, baby. We need to know, Nancy. And also, if you're not Nancy, just tell us what you think about pilgrims.
Yeah.
I'm curious.
I've been thinking about pilgrims a lot lately.
The Thanksgiving special is coming, so we do need to start writing it. We're going to crowdsource all of the pilgrim content.
Yeah, we're gonna bake a bald eagle.
For Thanksgiving dunch. That's a throwback. Goodbye.
Shishkin Productions Podcast.